You're listening to Sportsnet Today
on the official home of your Calgary Flames.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, we are officially past the 1 p.m. Mountain Time deadline of the NHL's trade deadline, and our coverage continues here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Logan Gordon, Peter Klein, Pat Steinberg, along with you. The major news as we inched closer to the deadline: Tomas Hertl to the Vegas Golden Knights. You are not hearing things. Do not adjust your radios. Do not reset your online streams. Please be careful in traffic. But yes, Tomas Hertl to the Vegas Golden Knights is indeed happening. Bob McKenzie of TSN first on it. Have not seen any return yet.
No.
Deals still will trickle in as we're past 1 p.m. here. But on the other side of that, we're also hearing of teams that may or may not have anything left. PK, we're hearing the Habs will not have anything left to go. We've heard the Oilers are done, heard the Canucks are done. No word yet on the Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
We will wait and see if they have anything in the hopper. Because again, you just have to be in a trade call in the queue with the NHL's offices to make a deal happen. So,
yeah.
Despite the fact that we're now almost 10 minutes past the deadline, still more will come in. And right now, the big news that we're waiting to find out is what the hell is the Vegas Golden Knights going to pay to bring in Tomas Hertl and the Flames. Side of that, PK, does it involve their 2025 first round pick?
I would be stunned if it didn't, right? Like, that there's no way that this trade doesn't include that pick.
I mean, they have their 2024 available, so I mean, I guess it's possible that it's that, but I mean, a player of Tomas Hertl's value and money feels like you're gonna have to give up, and if you're Vegas, knowing that you can push it a year with Calgary anyways as part of the conditions.
Like, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? Unless San Jose had no appetite for that. They already have two first-round picks in the 2024 draft, so maybe a 2025 pick was more palatable to them.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
It's funny. We were just having the conversation about the Sharks, about how like empty the cupboards are and all of that, and they have a chance to load up on some capital, whether it is 25, 24, 26. I wonder about the salary, because it's an $8 million salary going into $5 million of space. According to social media, it does look like there is some retention, and it does look like the 25 first is involved in this one as well.
Yeah, it looks like Darren Dreger telling us to Vegas, Hertl, first in 2025, David Enstrom, Hertl 17% retained, third in 2025, third in 2027. So if that report is accurate from Darren Dreger, and no reason to believe that it's not, then we're talking about the Flames will be receiving the 2026 first-round pick from the Vegas Golden Knights.
Edstrom, the 2023 first from Vegas. In the most recent draft. So essentially two first-round picks and a third for Hertl. That, I don't know. That doesn't seem like enough, to be perfectly frank. I don't know a ton about Edstrom, admittedly, so maybe if he's...
I believe we talked a little bit about him before. Swedish center, I believe, 19 years old, was a first-round pick by Vegas in 2023, so the most recent NHL draft. 6'3", left shot center, playing in the SJHL with Frölunda, and did play for Sweden in the World Junior Championships as well. So it looks like that will be a key piece, no doubt.
Yeah.
In this return.
Well, I mean, we talked about the dire situation the Sharks are in, and this is definitely adding to the war chest now for the San Jose Sharks. They got a couple of third-round picks, basically a first-round pick and a prospect that people are excited about, and that 25 first. So, I don't know. It still seems a bit underwhelming, but now you get off of $6.75 million for the next forever. And from a Flames standpoint, now it is official. That is a 26th first-round pick in the Noah Hanifin trade.
So let me lay it out for you here as Pierre LeBrun is confirming Darren Dreger's report of what it's going to cost for Tomas Hertl to go to the Vegas Golden Knights. So Tomas Hertl's going to Vegas with 17% salary retained. That means Vegas is getting him at this year and the next 5 years at $6.75 million. Vegas is giving up a 2025 first-round pick, prospect David Enstrom, a third in 2025, and a third in 2027. So four pieces in return for Hertl and 17% salary retention. And yes, as Peter mentioned, that would mean that the Calgary Flames will now be receiving a 2026 first-round pick as part of the Noah Hanifin trade, as the Vegas Golden Knights have indeed moved their 2025 first-round pick.
Yeah, so I don't know if that changes things dramatically from a Calgary standpoint, this going from a 25 to a 26. I had said in various different platforms before that I thought that Calgary kind of spreading the wealth out draft capital-wise wasn't the worst thing for them to do. So to get a pick a couple years down the road, and look, like, obviously Vegas is going to perpetually be aggressive around trade deadline time and stuff like that, but there could be a point where around 2026, things fall off in Vegas for one reason or another. Like, just injuries happen in this sport. So kicking that can down the road maybe isn't the worst thing for the Flames. You'd like that to be, you know, not 2 years from now. But overall, I still think it's fine. But this is certainly a giant trade that the Flames are at least loosely tied to now.
I'll look to my left for clarification here. I don't know if my colleague has this information. Pat, is that 2026 going to be unprotected then, based on the conditions? I'm assuming that's what's happening. I didn't read anything about the 2026 pick being protected in any way, shape, or form as part of the conditions when we read the Hanifin trade out. So my assumption, until clarified, is that it looks like it's going to be unprotected. So if you're a Flames fan, you're hoping that a year or two of contention for Vegas in 2026, a pure downfall.
Yes.
Fall off the mountain kind of thing.
Yeah, the bottom just completely falls out of things out in Vegas.
So, yes, that's the big move right now. Tomas Hertl heading to the Vegas Golden Knights in exchange for a package of a 2025 first, prospect David Enstrom, a third in 2025, and a third in 2027. Elliot Friedman mentioning, by the way, that Tomas Hertl is expected to return in the regular season. He's currently on IR right now for San Jose, and weren't sure exactly when he was going to get back, but Friedman now reporting that we will see Hertl at some point for Vegas before the playoffs begin. So,
yeah. So I still don't know how they fit this in exactly under the cap. I mean, obviously they know, or else they wouldn't have made this trade. But, I don't think that this, like, I'm just so fascinated by this trade. I can't believe they pulled this off. Vegas is running their team like it's a video game, and just from an outside standpoint, love it. I know there's a lot of people upset about different LTIR things. If you can make the playoffs without Mark Stone, then all the power to you. This makes Vegas, I think from a forward standpoint anyway, a bit of a juggernaut right now in the NHL.
I love the text line for so many reasons.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite. By the way, 960-960, the fan feedback line is open to you during our live coverage today. This text says 2026 is fine. Flames can either pick it or see what holes they have in the retooled and trade to address it. The following text: the Hanifin trade has now gotten worse. Vegas has fleeced the Calgary Flames. And that's kind of how it's going back and forth right now.
Yeah,
I don't mind 2026 first from Vegas logo. Now the Hanifin trade looks even worse, guys. Once again, the Flames were ripped off. Like, you're not pleasing everybody. I guess that's... I should have learned that a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely something you learn. Just like all the times that I was on here regularly and got some texts like, oh, get this guy off of the air. And then as soon as I come back in a fill-in capacity, oh my God, we love him. There's always going to be a wide range of opinions on that text line. And especially when it comes to trades. Like I said, like I'm not going to profess to know the strength of the 2026 NHL draft. I'll probably wait till 2026 to figure that one out.
What are we even bringing in for if you didn't know that?
Yeah, sorry. I apologize. I was just kind of here to crack some jokes. But I don't think this really changes it all that much, to be perfectly honest with you.
Chris Johnston of The Athletic reporting that he believes the Toronto Maple Leafs are in the process of acquiring Connor Dewar from the Minnesota Wild. Still haven't heard anything one way or another if the Calgary Flames are or aren't done.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've heard a couple of teams, at least PK, saying that they're out of it and not doing anything. And I haven't heard that one way or another from the Calgary Flames. So we will continue to wait as the news trickles in post 1 p.m. deadline to see if perhaps Craig Conroy did get anything done ahead of the deadline.
Yeah, this is always the time where things start trickling in. And like you said, there was a trade that we just found out about a couple of moments ago with Connor Dewar on his way to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So we will see. I think if there is a Flames move, I think it'll be more of a depth piece either way. So we will see what happens with that. But either way, like we said, the Flames are involved in a trade just very peripherally after a blockbuster between a couple Pacific Division teams.
Let's read some texts at 960-960. Lots on that Vegas trade, what it means for the Calgary Flames, and future going forward here. Let's start this one. This text says, scouts say the 2026 draft is better than 2025. Good news if Conroy is still the GM in 2030.
Cool.
This text says, why are so many people upset about the draft pick being 2026? It's speculated to be a deeper draft, no top 10 protection, and why would you want all your picks in a single year or two and then nothing? This spreads the wealth for the Calgary Flames.
That's kind of where I come. The spreads the wealth part. Like, just if this is going to just be kind of the only time the Flames are going to be doing this, why not try to spread some of it out across 24, 25, and 26? So that's why I don't really necessarily have a problem with that.
This two texts about Gavin McKenna already coming in. One of them simply, chances of Gavin McKenna have slightly gone up. A little early to project that, but maybe.
Is he 16 right now?
Maybe. This text says, I wonder actually if a 2026 pick is advantageous for the Flames. Vegas not in as good a position to determine where they'll be picking in that draft.
Yeah, like basically it gives Vegas more time to suck. Right? Like that's basically what you're doing, is just giving you an extended rampway for things to go wrong for a team that a lot has gone right for so far.
This text says 2026 is fine. Either pick it or see what holes we have and address it. Then can get a 2025 pick in a Markstrom trade.
Yeah, you could.
Good.
That would honestly probably be one of the likely outcomes of that for sure. And also, it gives you a couple of years. Like, if things are clicking here in the next couple of seasons, and it looks like that this thing has maybe progressed quicker than people thought, Dustin Wolf is the truth, Sharon Govich is actually a 40-goal scorer instead of a 30-goal scorer, it gives you a couple more years to figure that out. And if you want to use that as a bigger piece, then you can do it that way.
Okay, and I have to clarify this, because Darren Dreger's tweet wasn't clear in this. I was assuming the third round picks were heading to San Jose. I'm incorrect on that. The third round picks are heading to Vegas, guys.
What?
Yes. He listed everything off, but put in third and 25, third and 27. I assumed those were...
So it's just Edstrom and a first?
Yes.
For Hurdle, a third and a third.
Yes, Hurdle and two thirds to Vegas.
Boy, I don't love this for San Jose. Like, you get out from the contract, I guess. Like, it gives you some freedom. And maybe if he said, he was miserable there or something. Like, if he was... Again, I don't know. Like, this is wild and fairly irresponsible speculation. But, like, I wonder
Like, this seems like you're almost desperate to get that guy out of town.
And
if you're just getting a couple of things.
I want to apologize for everybody as I was listing that off. I think, Peter, you can read the tweet and probably confirm the listeners. It was a bit hard for me to tell where those picks were going. And I made the natural assumption that they were heading to San Jose in that trade. So I apologize for getting those thirds mixed up. But
it's a lot going on right now.
Darren Dreger has clarified. So let me read it out in its correct fashion. It is a 2025 first-round pick and David Edstrom heading to San Jose, heading to Vegas, Tomas Hertl with 17% salary retained, and a third in 25 and a third in 2027. And it's important for me to clarify that, A, because I made a mistake on the first one, but B, PK, as you mentioned, I like that trade a hell of a lot less right now for San Jose.
Yeah, we were talking about trying to load up and kind of stock things up a little bit to basically like get two assets for three. And it's always weird to me talking about players as assets, but that's kind of what we're doing on this day. To get two assets for three, to not get what I would assume to be the best one out of that in Tomas Hertl is kind of wild to me. So you do get an extra $6.75 million in cap space, again, until I turn 40. But you're still also, there's also 17% retained. And if my math is great, which it usually isn't, but I believe that's around $1.4 million that they're retaining over the next 6 years. It gives them all three retention spots done for the rest of this year, which I guess is done now. But next year as well, they have Burns on the books for one more year, Carlson for four more years, I think, or three or four, and now Hertl for six, right?
Yeah, so all of their retention spots are filled in San Jose right now.
Like, that seems like not a lot to give up for also eating a bit of that money.
It's not a little bit of money. I mean, Chris Johnston's laid it out. Added up over the 6 years, San Jose's keeping over $8 million of money combined.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a small chunk to keep for a player to play for your division rival.
And only get two things back. Like, the first from last year, who...
And, I mean, is like, a 2025 first-rounder from Vegas that enticing to you? I don't know what that roster looks like in a year from now, but I don't imagine it falling off.
Does that much in a year? No. I'm
still assuming that's a late first rounder. And no offense to David Edstrom, who it appears a couple people like, he was a 32nd overall pick.
Right. Yeah, I've seen...
A couple years ago, wouldn't have been a first round pick.
He has the size that people like, but I'm seeing a few people saying, bottom six forward. So, again, projecting these things out is a little wild, but I just... Yeah, this doesn't seem like enough to me, to be perfectly honest.
I'll just quickly jump in and give a counterpoint. San Jose's rebuilding. They need to get money off their cap. Tomas Hertl's straddling 30. With that much money and with that big of a contract, I don't know if they were getting much else for him, to be perfectly honest with you guys. Like, I know he's a great player, but with that contract and with San Jose clearly trying to go in a different direction and only retaining 17%, I mean, that's still a huge amount of cap that Vegas is taking on for a significant amount of time. So I actually don't mind that deal at all for San Jose, knowing the situation and kind of the corner they've painted themselves into, and not Mike Greer. Mike Greer is now trying to kind of
untangle the mess.
Yeah, he's trying to put him on a different path and kind of get them out of cap jail, and he did so with Carlson. They didn't get a great return on Carlson because of the situation, and now he's done so with Hertl, like, and got an asset and got a first round pick. So I actually don't mind that at all from a San Jose standpoint.
They are not a capped out team. Like, they have $34 million in cap space going into next season before this move. Like we talked about before, they have LeBanc, Hoffman, Barabanov coming off, a couple of others as well, Kaapo Kähkönen. So, like, they didn't seem like a team that needed to make a move just to get off of it. I do hear, like, maybe this player's value.
No, but it's more about them just completely scorching earth there.
Yeah.
Get rid of your good players and get what you can for them.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I look at it as anyway.
Wasn't scorched earth this season?
Well, it's...
You're telling me it's going to get worse, Pat?
It's scorched earth now. That minus 112 goal differential is just the beginning. always darkest before the dawn, or something along those lines.
Mm. If it's talk about darkest in San Jose, it's get real dark.
I get, like, to that point, you are getting further and further away from 30 goals a couple of years ago, 22 last year, 15 this year. So the value does kind of go down. It just, yeah, I still don't think it is quite enough when you're throwing in two-thirds the other way.
It's an interesting one. It's clearly going to be the biggest move of the deadline, pending anything trickling down here. But yeah, again, apologies for misconstruing.
Everyone
Darren
on Twitter
Traeger's,
did too. You're fine.
Pick there, but clarifying it, yes, first and David Edstrom heading to San Jose in exchange for Tomas Hertl at 17% salary retention, a third in 2025, and a third in 2027.
For those scoring at home, it's a fourth and 26 for Dewar for Minnesota and Toronto.
Yeah.
Not the Calgary Dewar, the no. Minnesota Dewar.
And Chris Johnson saying he's a pending UFA with Arbrights, not likely to be re-signed by Minnesota in the summer, so they move on and get what they can for the defenseman.
So just looking at this now, in your opinion, does this make Vegas, like, does this make them the favorite? Are they a favorite? Does this, like, this is obviously a very talented player on a very talented team. Does this move the needle to the point where they're now the West favorites in your mind? Or where does this put them in the hierarchy out here? Because, again, you look at that Vegas roster, it's like, man, they're good. And then you look at Vancouver, man, they're good. Winnipeg gets Toffoli and Monahan in the last little bit. They're pretty good. Dallas gets Tanev. They're really good. The West playoffs are going to be insane.
I don't know if they're my favorite in the West. The only thing that concerns me a bit if I'm Vegas is two of your biggest pieces are hurt right now in Tomas Hertl and Mark Stone.
Yeah.
If those guys were healthy and ready to go, now, of course, I know LTIR works magic and guys tend to come back at full strength and ready to go for playoff runs, and it's happened before. I just don't know if there's a lot of time to gel for those guys. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be a massive change for that group at some point very late in the season to try to make Anthony Mantha, Noah Hanifin, Tomas Hertl, Mark Stone all – like, you don't have time if you're the Vegas Golden Knights to work on your line combos here heading into the playoffs. You got to kind of hope that you're nailing them right off of the start because, like you mentioned, doesn't sound like anybody in the West is going to have an easy first-round matchup. So – I'm certainly not counting them out. They've certainly gotten a hell of a lot better in the last week than they were. That's my only concern. But, I mean, they're probably two or three in the West for me. I mean, I like Colorado an awful lot, Pat. I like Dallas, you know, in this situation too. So, if everybody comes back healthy and ready to go, PK, then it's hard not to like what Vegas did coming off of a – off of a championship last year.
Right, yeah, they have that championship pedigree from a season ago. And yeah, like, as it sits right now, they're a wild card team, so they're getting whoever comes through this gauntlet of a regular season on top of their division in the first round. That would be quite the matchup for sure. So you're not necessarily easing Stone in when I would assume he comes back for night one of the postseason off of LTIR. So it is going to be difficult, but if there's anyone who can just plug and play, it's Stone, right? Like he fits whatever role he needs and he excels and you go from there. And he has the familiarity of the last couple of seasons. So to me, Vegas, they are the favorites in my mind. But like we said, like there are honestly, sorry, LA Kings. I think there are seven teams in the eight in the West playoffs. I guess six. I don't think Nashville could either. Six teams in the West win the Stanley Cup here, and I wouldn't be absolutely stunned. That's insanity. And a lot of them got better in the last month or so, right? Like Colorado made some moves. Winnipeg, I love what they've done. Vancouver at least tried, and it hasn't really worked out with Lindholm so far, but that could click in a different way. Dallas gets Tanev. Vegas gets everybody. Like the West load up here was insanity.
For those of you just tuning in, yes, we have mentioned that the trade now gives Calgary the 2026 first round pick for the Vegas Golden Knights. And I think this will be a popular question going forward. I can't confirm you, but I haven't seen anything that mentions the 2026 pick being protected in any way, shape, or form. So going under the assumption that it is unprotected in 2026, that pick coming from Vegas to Calgary as part of this right now. We're going to take a break, come back on the other side. We've heard a few teams are done at this point. Still no mention of the Calgary Flames one way or another, PK. So we're keeping our eye on the local club as our trade deadline coverage continues. Four great sponsors along with us, including our friends at Atlas Pizza, the best pizza past the steaks and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. This is the home of the Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
You're listening to Sportsnet Today
on the official home of your Calgary Flames.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, trade deadline coverage continues here on Sportsnet 960. We are live in the Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Tomas Hertl is a Vegas Golden Knight.
The move we all anticipated coming into today.
The one that we were all waiting on. That's the big news on trade deadline day so far. Just about 40 minutes past the 1 p.m. deadline. But according to NHL Insider Frank Saravalli from Daily Faceoff, the Calgary Flames have one trade in the queue still to be announced. So that was a couple moments ago from Frank Saravalli. So we are anticipating a transaction for the Calgary Flames on this Friday. We'll bring in host of Flames Hockey and the host of Flames Talk on Sportsnet 960, Pat Steinberg, as soon as we have details to share with you. But right now, just sifting through the usual, passing of news that comes after the 1 p.m. deadline, PK, and most people still, of course, reacting to Tomas Hertl being traded to the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, just a wild blockbuster move for Vegas that no one saw coming, which is kind of what they specialize in, right? Like, Vegas wasn't really one of the rumored teams in Hanifin until the 11th hour, and then they just got it done. I thought the Mantha move was a pretty smart one for them as well. They are absolutely 100% loading up for another run in a very loaded Western Conference. And for the San Jose Sharks, like, it's been, they've been slowly pressing that reset button for a while. They get a former first round pick and a future first round pick. I still don't believe it's enough, but they're at least moving on from this one. So obviously the big move of the day. And as we said, like, those trades that come trickling in late aren't always just like, oh, it's this guy for a fifth, it's this guy for a fourth. This one came in basically right at the 1 o'clock deadline and just sent waves across the National Hockey League.
So yes, that does mean as part of that deal for Tomas Hertl that the Vegas Golden Knights have sent their 2025 first round pick to San Jose. That affects the Calgary Flames' return for Noah Hanifin, as they will now receive Vegas's 2026 first round draft pick. And what a list this is from Chris Peters on Twitter of Flow Hockey. So the Vegas Golden Knights had three first round picks in 2017 as they entered the league. It was Cody Glass, Nick Suzuki, and Eric Brandstrom. All of them have been traded. They traded away their 2018 first round pick. They drafted Peyton Krebs in 2019 with a first-round pick. He has been traded away. 2020, they selected Brendan Brisson, still in the organization. 2021, drafted Zach Dean. He has been traded. Their 2022 first-round draft pick, traded. And now, their 2023 prospect, David Edstrom, traded.
Yeah. They do have their 24 pick, but then now 25 and 26 out the door.
Gone.
To San Jose and to Calgary. So basically, if you get drafted by Vegas, you have a very good idea of where you're not going to be playing. Like, all right, well, I know the one team I'm not going to be with, and that's these guys. Let's see where I actually end up. It's wild how aggressive they have been and how aggressive they have stayed, right? Like, it has been from the word go that they have been this aggressive, that they had all the success early with kind of the misfit toys attitude, and it has just been add. All right, Patrick didn't work, sending him somewhere else. Like, they have been constantly tweaking and constantly working on improving this roster, and that is why they are constantly a threat in the Western Conference and constantly a threat for a Stanley Cup. This is how any sports fan wants their team to be run, right? Like, did the future be damned? Let's just first-round picks all over the place. Now, it ends up coming back to bite you eventually.
It's going to hurt at some point.
In the, like, what we're seeing with San Jose right now, right? Like, they were very aggressive for a long time, didn't quite get to the mountaintop, at least Vegas has. But, like, it does eventually come back to bite you, but I guess it's not, at least for now, for Vegas.
Sometimes the trades that don't get done can be the most interesting ones on trade deadline. Frank Saravalli also reported about 30 minutes ago that the Bruins and Kings had a deal with Linus Omark on the table to go to LA that didn't end up getting done. So the LA Kings, who are in a playoff spot, holding down the final wild card spot in the West, tried to make something happen. Or excuse me, they're in third in the Pacific right now. Vegas is still 2 points back of them, so correction there. They're in the third spot in the Pacific, but just 2 points ahead of Vegas with one game in hand. We're looking at Linus Ullmark as perhaps the answer to their goaltending conundrum.
Yeah, that would have been quite the move for the LA Kings to pull off. Like, it seems like things post-coach firing have kind of normalized out in LA. They've worked their way into that third spot in the Pacific Division. But That still would have been an upgrade over anything that they have right now. And Boston absolutely dealing from a position of strength right now, right? Like, they don't have to make that move because goaltending depth is never going to be a problem when it gets to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
You know what really interests me? And we're going to go down this road because as of right now, we've just kind of hit a stalling point for news past one. I wonder if we're not going to get a flurry of transactions here before we're all said and done, PK. But right now we are still waiting on a trade for the Flames that is in the queue and should be coming out pretty shortly here. Frank Saravalli telling us that the Flames and Sharks are hooking up for a deal. Nikita Okuhatuk.
Yeah, not one you want to stumble on cold, that's
boy,
for sure.
That's a fun one to get right off the bat.
Okadiak?
Okadiak?
I like that.
That's as close as we're going to get.
That's what I've learned, boys.
Nikita
quickly and with confidence.
Is part of the transaction with the Calgary
Guys,
Flames.
Another Russian.
Yeah.
And another D.
Another D, yep.
Yes, that's the Dolphins.
Former second-round pick, sorry, 2019. I interrupted the intro.
That's okay. No, that's fine. I butchered the intro trying to figure out how to pronounce that name. So the details coming down from Frank Saravalli, as apparently the Flames have acquired another prospect defenseman, this one from the San Jose Sharks, who you can imagine have been busy the last couple of moments with another trade call. Yes, it looks like... Yeah, Nikita. Give me your pronunciation on that client again.
Kodiak was what I went
Kodiak.
With.
Kodiak. I don't mind.
Again, I could definitely be wrong. I'm just going with the quick and confident route and seeing what comes. But 43 games this year with the Sharks. Has one goal, seven assists in those 43 games, 44 PIMs, also five games in the A this year. On one assist there. Has also played with the New Jersey Devils.
Well, yeah, originally a Devils draft pick.
Yeah, he was acquired in the Timo Meier boom from 2023.
Is logo okay? It sounded like he was having a stroke. That was not a name that I was prepared for. So, yes, if it does sound as though I was having health problems, I can understand.
23-year-old left-shot defenseman, 6'1", 195, according to HockeyDB. So.
And as Pat mentions, another Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting that's the road for the Calgary Flames. And, I mean, another guy that we're talking about, we're probably going to see at the NHL level, PK. I mean, he's got 43 games of NHL experience this year with San Jose and 58 in total. So I would, you know, Jordan Osterley on waivers cleared and has been sent down to the Wranglers. Perhaps this is another body the Flames want to see at the NHL level?
Yeah, basically. Now I'm the one sounds like they're having a stroke, but I do think that they're like, look, there's opportunities here with this team right now. There are openings after the moves that have been made. So I think we're going to see, and that's honestly one of the reasons why I expressed frustration with that call-up rule, because it would be fun to see a few guys get a shot to try to stick in that that left shot role on the blue line. Maybe it's Gilbert who does kind of lock that down, but maybe you have a few more of these, and Nikita, I think we'll have an opportunity to play in that role and try to earn some time with this team. But I think that this is going to be I think we're going to see a few changes nightly to the Flames lineup, especially on the blue line, and just seeing like who the hot hand is, who can stick, and who deserves the opportunities here with this team.
So the Flames finishing up what looks like will be their only deal of the day. Nikita Okoyotuk from the San Jose Sharks, a former second-round pick of the New Jersey Devils.
I like Kleiner's pronunciation better. Akadiuk. I think that one.
Akadiuk.
What did you just go with?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Your guess is as good as mine.
Akadiuk. I like that Akadiuk one. That sounds quite accurate-ish.
Pat, your initial thought, is this a body where you think we're going to see with Calgary, or
he's played 43 games with the Sharks, so I would imagine he'd come in as an NHL option for the team. Curious to see what the asking price is on this one. He's got 58 NHL games to his name. This is the year that he has spent the most time in the NHL with 43. He's been in North America now for quite a while. He came over and joined the Ottawa 67 for the 2017-18 season. So he's been over here in North America ever since 17-18. So it's an interesting pickup. Not one that I think that, you know, would have been on the radar coming in, but again, another depth piece and another guy in that range, right? In that age range of 21 to 24 type thing. He's a 23-year-old who won't turn 24 until December. So depth move. This is an area that we really shouldn't be surprised that they are looking to add depth in, because, guys, the biggest area of strength entering the season for the team was their depth on defense. Well, Zadorov, Tanev, Hanifin all dealt, and while they got Shillington back to help, that's still a significant amount of you know, top-end depth that goes out the door. So they've addressed it with two waiver claims in Pahal and Hanley. They've addressed it in the Tanev trade with Krushnikov, and they've addressed it in the Hanifin trade with Miramanov, and now they go out and get Akadiuk from San Jose. If you're just joining us, Nikita Akadiuk is the player the Flames have acquired. We believe the only player that they are going to be making a move on this deadline day. How's the voice? Hey, sounds way better today.
Yeah, way better. You've been working it. Whatever you're doing is working. The new pack of halls with just the debris everywhere on your side of the desk is it's looking like it's doing its business.
I got the finally went with the maximum strength. Didn't even know there were different strengths of halls. So that also, you know,
I'm going on vacation tomorrow, so I'm just gonna slide on over this way.
You have halls too.
Well, yeah, that's just because I project a lot. And no, that tends to wear out.
So I'm not sick. It's
fine. Yeah, we can get on over here. No, like
I think a hot tub.
There has to be one in this building somewhere.
Not one you want to get in.
This is you don't know that. This is, I think it's an interesting move. You talk about the depth that there was also, like, you've lost, I think he'll be fine, but you lose a year of development with Poirier having a relatively gruesome injury and just working his way back into it as well. So a nice depth piece for this team, and I think we'll see what is going back the other way. But I think another intriguing spot on this blue line, and I think the rest of this year is going to be interesting. And looking forward, I think there's going to be quite a battle in for spots in training camp next year to get onto this Flames blue line with some of the kids like Poirier, Kuznetsov, Soloviev, and then the slew of names that you have mentioned before.
And more Flames news coming down. Kevin Rooney has signed a one-year contract extension with the Calgary Flames.
Oh, there you go.
An AAV of $1.3 million, keeping Kevin Rooney in town now for another season after missing a good majority of this year, guys, with an injury as well. He came back on the same time as Jacob Pelche and has helped that fourth line pick up an identity. And Friedman with the return on Koyatuk, a fifth this year.
Fifth round pick this year, yeah.
Shut up, Pat. What's different from what I'm saying and what Klein's saying?
Confidence.
That's irrelevant.
He said Akadiak, and you said Akoy.
It starts okay.
Yeah, then it goes downhill from there.
Shut up. I knew that was coming.
Sorry.
Yeah,
the Flames did have 2 fifth-round picks this year. They have, obviously, their own, and then a conditional pick from the Blackhawks in one of the trades they've done over the last little while. So not saying like you just throw draft picks out, but they already had a bit of a safety net in the fifth round anyway. So
and you know
I think a fine move for like you can turn a fifth round pick into a guy who's played 43 games in the NHL. I say you do it.
Yeah, majority of fifth round picks don't make the NHL, to your point, Klein. And
yeah.
And you know what? As much as for some people it's going to be a non-needle mover, I don't mind if you're Craig Conroy and the Flames at this point in the organization of taking chances on guys. You've got, you know, the word opportunity has been used a lot the last couple of weeks and a lot on today's show even when talking about the Calgary Flames. But it's a real thing and a chance if your pro scouts have identified somebody that they think in your system is going to, you know, be able to reach a higher ceiling. I don't mind betting a fifth round pick on that.
No, 100%. I have no problem making moves for fifth round picks for guys who are going to be on your NHL roster today. So like you said, like there's going to be a lot of opportunities for these guys to prove themselves. Obviously, Nikita has had a few runs with the San Jose Sharks, but as we have talked about before, not exactly the most complimentary pieces on a San Jose Sharks team that gets their head caved in on a nightly basis. So I think this is an interesting opportunity for Nikita and an opportunity for the Flames to get a look at a number of different players. They have acquired a lot over the last little bit here with all the trades going back to the Toffoli one in the summer. And there are a number of intriguing pieces that I think are going to make the next 18 months around here quite interesting.
He's Peter Klein. I'm Logan Gordon. This is continuing coverage of the 2024 NHL trade deadline here on Sportsnet 960. When we come back, we'll hand things over to the dulcet tones of Pat Steinberg and Flames Talk to get you through post-trade deadline coverage. One move for the Calgary Flames on this Friday and a move from the Vegas Golden Knights, which changes things for the Calgary Flames in terms of the Noah Hanifin trade, as they have sent their 2025 first-round pick to the San Jose Sharks as part of a package for Tomas Hertl. So the Flames now know they will have Vegas's 2026 first-round pick. Add into that a one-year extension for center Kevin Rooney on this Friday. When we come back, Pat Steinberg takes over for Flames Talk, but keep it locked here. More trade deadline coverage continuing next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.